sugar, cause we love it. Chocolate chips, we want more oven cakes and ice cream. Want to shove it down our throats real fast. Here's a candy bar. You tried it?
Hey, let's all see what's inside it.
Hello, and welcome to Pet Chat. This is Jacques.
And this is Diane. And today we have Candace Conway, and she is the owner of Paws Barkery, and that's located in the Poconos. Welcome, Candace.
Thank you so much for having me.
And welcome. Obviously, you could tell by the song that this is a day about food, and that's our topic for the day. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your company?
Actually, Paws Barkery is an all-natural company that makes cookies for dogs. They are all-natural, made entirely in the United States, and I don't make them with anything that's not already found in my kitchen cupboard. So no weird chemicals, nothing that you can't pronounce. They are as just as if you were making cookies for a person, except they're made for dogs.
Excellent. And actually, I guess, didn't you say a human could actually eat them?
Yes, they are. They are made in a human cookie company according to my recipes. So that means that everything that's in them is something that a human could eat. They're all human grade. And it also means that the company is fully inspected just as if it were for a human so that you know that every bite your dog takes of my treats is a safe bite.
Candace, that's fantastic. What I was reading up on was that what's interesting is that your treats have been out on the market for only 6 months, but you bought the business 2 years ago. Tell us what inspired you to buy the business and also launch your own line of treats that are natural and made in the USA, which is fantastic.
Well, I have two dogs, Cookie, who is 6 years old, and Biscuit, who is 9 months old. And my having Paws Barkery is proof that they really and truly are the most spoiled dogs in the world. Cookie?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I notice on all of your bags that you have Cookie as your mascot.
Well, she's so beautiful, and actually the company's really hers. I just am the figurehead. It's Cookie's company all the way.
What kind of dog is?
She's a Bi Blue Merle Shetland Sheepdog, also known as a Sheltie, and she is absolutely gorgeous with one crystal blue eye and one beautiful soulful brown eye.
And she's one hungry dog.
Cookie likes to eat, which is a good thing since we have a treat company now. I had been buying Paws Barkery treats at Whole Foods for Cookie. They were the only biscuits she would eat that I could find on the market, and she absolutely loved them. I mean, I would, you know, ration them out and then go back to Whole Foods and, you know, clean the shelf out again.
Did you find a price out there for this kind of a product?
You know, the prices are all over based on the quality of the product. For instance, I have seen dog treats for sale in bulk for $1.59 a pound. Well, I can tell you my ingredients cost more than $1.59 a pound. And when I see that, it makes me worried about what's in those things. You're going to find that, you know, my MSRP is $6.99 a bag, which I think is reasonable for an 8-ounce bag of treats. I think, you know, especially for a high quality product.
Right.
I've seen prices anywhere from, you know, really, really cheap generic brands in the grocery stores all the way up to, I've seen them for $15 for biscuits that were a 6-7 ounce bag. And again, that is for a variety of reasons. How are they made? If they're made by hand by someone in their kitchen, obviously they're going to have to charge a lot more in order to, you know, even hope to make a profit on it.
Right.
I've tried to go in the middle in that I use very, very high quality ingredients and I won't skimp on those. However, I am having them made for me, according to my recipes, by a human cookie company. And because they can produce them in bulk, they can actually keep the prices down compared to my making them by hand at home.
Right. And you mentioned everything's made in the U.S. That includes your packaging?
Yes. Actually, a lot of, you know, you'll see made in the USA on a lot of items. And there actually are federal trade laws that say if it's made in the USA, it also has to have the majority of the sourcing from the USA. However, nobody mentions the bags. I had to search high and low to find a company that actually makes the bags in the United States. Most American bag companies actually outsource the production to China. I didn't want that. I wanted everything. I wanted this to be an entirely American product from start to finish. And so I actually had to search and search until I found two companies that actually make bags in the United States. So not only are my treats made in the United States, the ingredients are sourced in the United States, and the bags are made in the United States. So I wanted, you know, again, I just really wanted to have the jobs stay here at home.
All American.
All American.
Candace, you've had your treats on the market for 6 months. Is that the bag that we're looking at in front of us, the Cookies and Kisses bag?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so the business that you purchased 2 years ago, was that the one that you were referring to that you would go into Whole Foods and purchase treats?
Yes. Actually, they were Cookie's favorite treats. It had never occurred to me to buy a dog treat company until the treats disappeared from the market.
Oh, wow.
And I searched high and low trying to find Cookie's treats for her. I was getting really frustrated, and until I found the company was for sale.
That's amazing.
And so I looked at Cookie, and she looked at me, and, you know, again, she's my little, you know, fur baby. I had to buy the company for her.
Is that why they went off the market? Because they were just up for sale, so they stopped selling them?
Yes. They unfortunately didn't know enough about business when they started. This company has actually had three owners. The first owner was a dog nutritionist here in Pennsylvania, and she kept it very small. She made them out of her home and only sold to a couple of stores in Pennsylvania. It was bought by two young entrepreneurs from Colorado who moved it up a step. They moved it to a firehouse kitchen, and they were using a hand crank machine to produce the cookies. But unfortunately, it takes a lot of working capital in order to be successful in the industry. And
I'm not a cook, but what's a firehouse kitchen?
Well, they were renting the kitchen out of a firehouse.
Oh.
So, you know, once a week they would go in and they would bake a batch of cookies.
Oh.
And unfortunately, they just didn't have enough money to support their families while they were doing this. And there was an illness, I believe, in one of the family, so they had to put the business up for sale, at which point I jumped in to buy it. And Cookies told me I did the right thing.
Well, great. How many varieties of cookies do you have?
Right now I have three varieties. I have Bow Wow Snickerdoodles, which are a honey and cinnamon flavor. I have Cookies.
That's a mouthful.
Bow Wow
yes,
Snickerdoodles?
Yes.
Bow Wow Snickerdoodle. Was that a name you came up with?
No, that was actually one of the original treat names. Now, the other two are my names, but I thought Snickerdoodles was such a cute name that I decided to keep it.
I love it. I'm reading the back of the bag. Does the do the folks who sold the business to you, are they really pleased that you kept some of the names?
I actually only kept one of the names, and yeah, they are pleased that I kept it. I thought some of their names were a little more awkward to pronounce than my new names. Like the Cookies Kisses, they originally called them Carabunga Chompers.
Wow.
Which I thought was just too much of a mouthful. So I thought Cookies Kisses worked better.
Carabunga Chompers.
And the Nutter Bites, they used to be called Peanut Butter Bones. And I had trouble pronouncing that, and I figured everybody else might too.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting hungry, and I guess I could even open this bag up and take a sample.
As a matter of fact, they would taste pretty good.
Now, you said there's honey in it, so they taste like, and if we chomped on it a little bit, it'll taste a little bit like honey?
Oh, absolutely, especially the Bow Wow Snickerdoodles. Again, not nearly as, it's a small enough amount of honey so that you still taste it, but not so much that it's unhealthy.
So, okay.
So there's all organic, healthy ingredients, and I think what's really unique then is you've replaced sugar with honey, and you've gone quite far to do some other things. So we'll come back and we'll start to reconnect and talk about, you know, what makes such a wonderful cookie.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to have another segment here on AM 1180 WFYL.
I don't wanna debate. Don't wanna hear about what kind of food you hate. name is Nancy Becker, and I am your recorder of deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the recorder of deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the recorder of deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Veterans, WFYL is pleased to participate in Greater Harleysville and North Penn Senior Services Veterans Expo. Stop by our table on Wednesday, June 10th from 9 to 1 p.m. Vets, make sure you are aware of the benefits you have earned. Find out about available resources, vision screenings offered, light refreshments available. Located at Encore Experiences Harleysville Senior Center. Call 215-256-6900 for more information.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Well, welcome back to Pet Chat. We're talking about food. Not your ordinary food, but treats for your pets, specifically your dogs. So, Candace, tell us some more. What's this about organic and natural processing of these dog treats?
Well, I like to have all natural treats. And by that, I mean I don't want a list of chemicals. Even some dog treats use, well, actually a lot of dog treats will use artificial preservatives. And I can understand why they do that. It gives you a much longer shelf life. My shelf life is only 18 months, which is fairly short for the treat industry. However, I didn't want to have anything with strange ingredients in my treats. So I have a little bit of honey in all of the treats, and just that tiny bit of honey acts as a natural preservative. Because what honey does is it absolutely absorbs water. So any moisture that's in, like, been packaged in the bag or anything like that actually gets absorbed by the honey so that the treats won't go moldy and they stay fresh just because that little bit of honey is in there.
And I just had one, and actually it is wonderful.
It is wonderful.
And it tasted a bit chocolatey also. What's that ingredient?
That's carob, and actually it's the combination of carob and vanilla that tastes like chocolate. Now, carob is a natural product that you can buy the powder in pretty much any health food store. It's basically almost like a chocolate that doesn't have caffeine in it. The dangerous thing about chocolate is that it contains substances called theobromines.
Right. They say don't give chocolate to dogs or cats.
definitely not a good idea, especially the darker the chocolate, the more dangerous it is for the dogs. But on the other hand, dogs love chocolatey things, and they can get that flavor of chocolate without the dangerous theobromines by using carob instead.
And it tastes like chocolate. It's wonderful.
It really does.
I'm gonna take the bag and chomp on it when I'm hungry at night.
Candace, tell me about, and this, actually the one that you want to chomp on is called Cookies Kisses with the carob and vanilla. Tell us a little bit about the other flavors. Are they simple too, the ingredients? It seems like they're very simple.
They are. As a matter of fact, I originally started using baking powder in some of the treats. And then I actually sent my bags in to the Department of Agriculture in Pennsylvania, since they're the ones who license dog treats for the states, before I had anything made. I sent the concept art to them. And what they did was they looked at it, and the inspector came back to me and he said, you know, you've got baking powder in here. I don't like to see that as an ingredient. If you're going to use that, that's actually a complex mixture of things. I want to see it all broken out into the individual components. And I thought, okay, well, let me go look and really look at what the individual components of baking powder are. And I started looking, and there are some nasty things in some baking powders out there. Some of them contain aluminum. Some of them, even the better all-natural ones, a lot of them still use cornstarch as an anti-caking component. Well, I didn't want to have anything with corn in it in my dog treats because some dogs have corn allergies. So what we ended up doing on the snickerdoodles and the Nutter Bites, we made natural baking powder by combining cream of tartar and baking soda. And if you put those two things together into the batter, it actually works as baking powder. And that's something most people have cream of tartar in their kitchen, and most people have baking soda in their kitchen, and they're both very natural ingredients. And that way I was able to go around having all of the weird chemicals that are found in baking powder.
So they certified, I guess, your treats?
Not so much certified. There's actually a lot of licensing that goes into producing dog treats. For instance, you're supposed to have every dog treat that's sold is supposed to come with a list of ingredients and a crude analysis. And what you do is you have to get your recipe formulated and done. And actually, we had it made on the big equipment at the cookie plant. Then we sent it out to a testing lab who analyzed it and gave me the crude analysis so that I could then put that on the bags. So you always have to have a test run of your treats done before you actually do your real production run so that you can have the testing done and have that put on the labeling.
That's pretty amazing. And then you connected your bag company, your packaging company, to the humans who are actually making the cookies, and how did that evolve?
You know, I was really lucky to find the wonderful people who are making my treats for me. I actually found them on LinkedIn. Social networking can get you very far in this world. I am currently looking at bringing out some new flavors that will be gluten-free. And I'm in discussions right now with three different human cookie companies that do gluten-free cookies, because my current they're called a co-packer when they make it for you. My current co-packer really doesn't handle gluten-free, so I need to find a new one to do the gluten-free for me. And I'm in discussions with three different companies and trying to finalize which one will be making them.
Well, you're really a go-getter. When it comes to, I mean, these could be roadblocks for a lot of people, because it's really perseverance at every ingredient, every step of the way. When you look at the overall industry and what's happening with treats and pets, what are some other trends you're starting to see?
Made in the USA is the biggest trend. Unfortunately, there have been some incidences with treats from other countries where dogs have died from contamination in the treats. So made in the USA, you know you are getting American made. You know the jobs are staying here. You know they need to follow what's called the AFCO guidelines, which is basically an organization that gives recommendations to the states on what they should require for their dog treats. because all dog treats are licensed separately in all 50 states, and all 50 states have different requirements, but most of them follow national guidelines.
Can they label it made in America if the bag is not made in America, or is that okay?
Unfortunately, yes, they can. It is very hard to find bags, companies that actually make the bags here in the United States. Most of them outsource it to another country. I searched high and low. It actually took me a very long time to find a bag company that actually makes their bags actually in Wisconsin. So not only are my treats made and sourced in the United States, but my bags are made in the United States too.
They're not made of cheese, are they?
No, sorry, not made of cheese. Although cheese might be a future treat product, you know?
My dogs love it.
Dogs love cheese.
Cheese sticks. We do a lot of training with cheese.
We're giving you a hint.
I hear it. I hear it loud and clear.
Next dog treat. It's going to be cheese, and it's our doing. Pet chat. Remember.
Well, now, go ahead.
Actually, some of the flavors that I'm looking at, again, speaking of food trends, one of the flavors I'm looking at doing would be a coconut dog treat. Coconut oil is a really hot trend in health. Mm-hmm. What people are finding is that if you include coconut oil as one of your daily, you know, things that you give your dog, that they're going to have a much healthier, glossier coat. So I really would like to make a coconut treat that has coconut oil in it to help the dog's coats. Also looking at pumpkin, which is really good for dog's digestion. And they also happen to like the flavor.
Do dogs like coconut flavor?
Oh, yes. They really do.
It's actually really good for them. We have a dog, our German Shepherd, Max, who we feature all over our Facebook page and our website. And he has so many food allergies, and one of the things that he can have and loves is coconut and also pumpkin and sweet potatoes.
And actually, you can make sweet potato treats at home if you want to try making a natural treat yourself without having to go outside to get it. Just get sweet potatoes, scrub them, slice them a little bit thicker than a quarter of an inch thick. Put them on some trays. I always use like a silicone lining on the tray, but I'm not sure you even need to do that. Turn your oven down to the lowest setting. Mine goes down to 170 degrees. And I put them in before I go to bed. And then the next morning I wake up and I have perfect sweet potato jerky for my dogs.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to do that. We're going to try it.
It's really easy and it's very inexpensive. So if you want something that's healthy and all natural that you can make yourself, that's what you can do.
Somebody else made something.
Yes, he did. I have a couple.
This is great.
We might have this carry over the next segment, but that's okay. They have a couple of pugs, and they went away to the islands for 7 or 8 days, and I house sat and watched their two pugs, Andy and Baxter. And as a welcome home treat, my wife and I thought we should make up some cupcakes. So she found on Pinterest a recipe for these cupcakes. She cooked the cupcakes, and then I spread icing on them, and I heated up some Tootsie Roll Pops and flattened them down and cut them so they'd be the cheeks and the bottom of the mouth and the eyes. And I got a little red candy and made that the tongue and had the ears, and I got a little white candy for the eyeballs, and it came out great. If you want to look at it, go to the website, my website, www.soapandbeanpetcare.com, and go to one of the blogs, and you'll see the cupcakes.
Scrumptious cupcakes.
Anyway.
Two great ideas right here. Really two great ideas. We're going to come back with some more.
Yes, we are. Welcome. And thanks for tuning AM 1180 WFYL, and you're listening to Pet Chat.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
Well, welcome back to Pet Chat. We're here with Candace, and we're talking about dog treats.
Candace, thanks again for joining us today from the Poconos. We're so excited to have you here talking about your treats and your business. And I wanted to touch base more on your business, but before we do, we're really impressed with the packaging, the healthy ingredients, and most importantly, what hits us all is the cost. You've managed to really create an outstanding product using best practices, and you've made it affordable. Tell us a little bit about the pricing and where we can find your product.
Well, actually, I went into this wanting to hit the $6.99 price tag. I talked to a number of people in small independent pet stores, and what they said was that $6.99 is the sweet spot for them, that they get the most sales at $6.99. And there are a number of ways to get that. One of the things is by volume. When I had the bags made, you know, I had 75,000 bags made, which, you know, on a global scale of the industry is a small amount, but for a little company, that's a lot of bags.
That's a lot of bags.
That helped me bring the price down. You know, when we do runs, they're 1,000-pound runs of each flavor, and that helps keep the price down, too. You know, now, bigger companies, they can get their price even lower by doing 10,000-pound runs or 50,000-pound runs. But for me, 1,000 pounds was a nice way of keeping the price low, but at the same time, because we're doing smaller runs, they can be done on wire cut machinery, which gives the cookies a nice homemade look.
Now, when you're doing like 1,000 pounds, how long does that last? Or when you send them out to your stores, when do they reorder? When you need another 1,000 pounds, does it go a year or 6 months or what?
Well, really, I can't go more than 6 months on that, because when you give them to the stores, you'd like them to get, you know, a year of shelf life left on them. And especially if you get into distributors, which someday I hope to, then you really need to give the distributor plenty of time to get orders from the stores and then ship it out to the stores. So really and truly, the goal is, you know, it's taken me about 6 months to go through the first 1,000 pounds. I'm hoping I can get through the next 1,000-pound runs within 3 months. I'm growing rapidly. I'm now for sale in stores in 6 states, all the way down, you know, from Pennsylvania all the way down to Florida.
So you're along the eastern seaboard.
Yeah, and I'm growing rapidly. There's a separate license for each state, and so as I get the license for that state, I'm finding stores in that state. It's been a big adventure, and it's a really good excuse to go traveling and to visit some of these stores in other states.
And what kind of stores do you sell in?
I sell in independent pet supply stores, and I highly encourage people to go to them because, you know, big box stores might give you a cheaper price, although most of the time they don't. But the quality of supplies that you're going to get at the independent retailer is much better. And in addition to that, you're going to get knowledge. You go in there and you have a dog that has a food allergy or something, they're going to know exactly what to do for your dog. They can give you advice on, gee, you know, my dog's doing this or my dog has this issue. They're going to be there to help you. They're not just a place where you go in and buy things. They're a way of learning. They're a place to learn, and they're a place to disseminate information. So really and truly, I highly recommend the independent pet store to people.
And where does one find a store like in their neighborhood?
Well, I would suggest going on to my website, which is www.pawsbarkery.com. There I have a zip code locator, and you can put your zip code in and find stores that are near you. Again, I've only been in business for 6 months, but so far I'm in about 35 stores. So growing very quickly for a company this small.
And again, that's www.pawsbarkery.com, and her number is 855-888-PAWS. And I'm looking at one of your cookies right now, and it's a Cookie Kisses. And I'm actually, if you put this on a tray, it looks like something humans would eat. It's so beautiful. I didn't even think about actually what goes into making a beautiful cookie like this. And it's not a bone shape. It's a heart shape, Cookies Kisses. So it's just, how did you come up with the idea on how to make this beautiful texture look like a human cookie?
That was actually why we decided to go with the wire cut equipment, because we knew that wire cut would give us the looks of a human cookie. And the heart shape came because I'm a little bit of a sentimentalist here. I knew that these treats were Cookie's treats, and I wanted it so that anytime anybody gave their dog a Cookie's kiss, it would be a heart shape because it would be a kiss from Cookie.
That's awesome. I love that.
Now, in each bag, it's one shape per bag?
Yes. The Cookies Kisses are heart-shaped. The Bow Wow Snickerdoodles are circles, because snickerdoodles are normally circles. And the Nutter Bites are actually bone-shaped.
Oh, that's great. And I'm looking at your map on your website right now, and it seems like there's a little locator there with the little balloons popping up on a map. So you're kind of like Forrest Gump in the dog cookie business. My goodness, you've hit the streets. There's a lot going on here. I must be traveling like crazy.
I've put a lot of miles on my car. Oh, I can tell you that.
Looks like there's one right here in King of Prussia.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I still have to put them on the chart. I just have three in Delaware now.
Wonderful.
So I'm growing pretty rapidly, and I'm very pleased with the sales. You know, again, it varies depending on the store. And, you know, if they sample them out, then they're going to have more sales than if they don't. But it's not uncommon at all for me to get a call from a store and order a couple cases of each flavor because they've just gone through them all.
And you are a networking princess here, I can tell. One of the things I noticed is you have a really good relationship with a women's network. Can you tell us a little bit about that and beyond LinkedIn, how some of your social networking has helped you with your product and development?
Oh, it's been priceless. There is a wonderful organization called Women in the Pet Industry. And I highly recommend that any woman who's associated with this industry join it, because it's a group of women who help each other. Women are a little underrepresented in the higher levels of the pet industry, and we've decided that the best way to fix that is by women grouping together to help each other. As a matter of fact, I was at a reception that the women in the pet industry put on at one of the big trade shows called the Global Pet Expo. While I was there, I started meeting a bunch of new women, started talking with them, and mentioned that I was looking for a new graphic designer for my new line of treats that was coming out. Mm-hmm. And they hooked me up. They introduced me to a woman graphic designer who is now working on my new treat line. So, they've just been an enormous help. You are welcome to go on their Facebook page, you know, join in the membership. There's actually a national conference every year of women in the pet industry. But the nice part is to have a group of women that you can go to and ask questions. And the way it's looked at, basically, we don't look at, you know, I could look at other people with treat companies and think of them as my competition. But that's not how I see it. I see every woman who's got her own treat company to be somebody else who's basically increasing awareness and increasing knowledge and increasing success. And the best way to succeed is to succeed together.
And have mentors. And I see you're a heavyweight when it comes to ethics and standards. And I'm noticing as you're plowing through each ingredient that you've gone through a lot of different checks. So we're going to come back and talk about that in your background.
All right.
Yes. And this is Jacques.
And this is Diane.
And we're Pet Chat at AM 1180 WFYL.
Thank you.
Open up your mouth and feed it. Have some more yogurt, have some more Spam. It doesn't matter if it's fresh or canned. Just eat it, eat it, eat it. Don't you make me repeat it. Have a banana, have a whole bunch. It doesn't matter what you had for.
In Job chapter 1, we're told about a man of great integrity whose name was Job. Consistent in his walk before God, God proclaimed him perfect. Honorable in his life before others, his friends proclaimed him upright. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking, are you like Job? God trusted him so strongly that he challenged the devil to buffet him, even in times of enormous testing when his children were killed, possessions stolen, friends proved themselves unfriendly, and a discouraging wife told him to curse God and die. Job's faith didn't waver. In fact, because his heart was right with God, he could say with full confidence in the face of terrible calamity, naked came I into the world, and naked will I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In the end, God healed Job, restored twice what he had lost, but only after Job prayed for his friends and thanked God for his trials. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking, can God trust you like he did Job? Will you respond like Job?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it,
eat it.
Hi, welcome back to Pet Chat. 1180 on your AM dial, WFYL. This is Diane from Pampered Paws.
And this is Jacques, Soap and Bean Pet Care.
And we're here again in the studio. Welcome back with Candace. And we're talking about Candace's cookie kisses and various treats. And we just left off with kind of talking a little bit about her background and what it really takes to develop a really good product, especially in the pet industry. And what we found was that she has gone above and beyond best practices when it comes to ethics and research. And we want to talk a little bit about her background and the ethics that she's gone through and some of the steps that she's taken to make sure her ingredients are top notch.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very lucky in that I've lived a very interesting life. I spent years in pharmaceutical, and I was a clinical scientist. I was a project leader running phase 3 clinical trials for Big Pharma. One of the things that entails is, again, a lot of regulatory work, which means you pretty much need to be able to go in and do the research that you need to do to find out how to do what you have to get done. And that worked out very well with the pet industry because even the simplest things, like the UPC codes, there are different levels of UPC code, which never occurred to me to even think about. You can buy them off the internet for $5. but they might be selling that same UPC code to 100 different people. There is a global organization, GS1, that actually regulates UPC codes. And if you buy your UPC codes from them, it was guaranteed that nobody else in the world will have that UPC code. So there's a lot of little details.
Now, I'm the only one in this room that's not from pharmaceutical background. So what's a UPC code?
Oh, that's the code on the back of the bag that they scan in at the grocery store to... Okay. So not pharmaceutical, but it's just an example that, you know, you can, if you learn how to do something in one industry, a lot of times those same skills get moves to another industry. You mentioned ethics. Again, as I said, I want to make sure that my treats are above any regulatory requirement in the quality of the products. Having been in pharmaceutical, one of the things that, you know, and this might surprise some people, they don't realize how much ethics is involved in clinical science. But as a clinical scientist, I've had much training in ethics, many courses. And one of the things that we would do in clinical science is every single step we'd take, is this ethical? Is this fair? Is this treating our, you know, patients correctly? And I hope to think that I've brought that in and that I will treat the dogs with to the same level of standards that I tried to bring to the people who were my patients as a clinical scientist.
And where do you hail from?
Well, I'm originally from San Diego, but I lived in Boston for many, many years, and now I've been in the general Philadelphia area for many years.
I went to college in San Diego.
It's a great city, isn't it?
Yes, out on Point Loma is where I went to school.
Oh, nice place. Yeah, I went to University of San Diego.
All right. Well, good to hear a West Coaster.
Although people have told me that I've picked up the East Coast accent.
I don't know. I can't hear it, but I have mixed accents, so it's hard to tell.
So what are one of the top challenges that you feel you've experienced as a woman changing careers in her 50s, going from big pharma to cookie treats for puppies?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I'd worked my way up to the office with the window and all of the perks that went with that. My biggest issue right now is getting people to take me seriously. As soon as I mention, I own a dog treat company, I'm immediately dismissed by a lot of people, and a lot of times it's with a sneer. Oh, you make them in your own oven at home, huh? And they just assume that it's a hobby and that this isn't something that I've thrown myself into, you know, with every resource I have as a career.
Well, after this show, that will no longer be the case.
Right. So you're kind of like the Apple, the Ben and Jerry's, maybe started off thinking in the garage and then it built up into a bigger thing. And just looking at your website and seeing the territory that you've really accomplished, and you hope to persevere and go further. So every year it seems like you're taking steps to hit more states, to hit more stores.
Well, Cookie and I agreed that all dogs need to have her treats available to them. You know, again, it's her company. It's not mine. And she loves it to see other dogs eating treats, too. So,
is she on the other side of the door? We're going to finish up interviewing her.
You know, she would love to. She's actually our company spokesperson, and she speaks really well.
Rough.
That's awesome. Is there anything that's coming up in the horizon that you can kind of share with us without revealing too much? I know we talked about some flavors.
We did.
Some recipes maybe that we can share, but without divulging too much of, you know, your top secret, you know, ingredients.
Well, I intend to increase. I would like to be able to come out with some sort of new product every year. One, I just actually signed up to show at the Global Pet Expo again in Florida next year. That is one of the biggest pet industry business-to-business shows in the United States, and actually one of the biggest ones in the world. My goal is to get in all 50 states and then start thinking about other countries, moving into Canada and you know, getting up some of our neighbors. Because, heck, if you're going to dedicate your life to doing something, you might as well throw yourself in it with both feet.
And there's, I guess, licensing issues if you're going to go nationwide?
Yeah, actually, every state has a separate licensing for dog treats. So I've been, you know, slowly expanding which states I have licenses in. And I'm up to most of the East Coast. There's still some that I haven't gotten yet, but I'm at most of the East Coast now.
And your licensing needs to be renewed every year?
Yes, and not only does it have to be renewed, you actually have to provide a tonnage report of how many tons of treats you sold to that state. And then you have to pay a fee based on the number of tons.
Oh, my goodness. So you're going to have a lot of feet on the ground soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, honestly, even if you sell one bag of treats in a state, their minimum that you pay the fee on is always a ton. So you have to report that you sold a ton, even if it was an 8-ounce bag.
Oh, my gosh. Well, tell me a little bit about what we were talking about earlier today. You know, there are different countries that... We talked about the challenge with getting the product made in the USA, but, you know, when you go to other countries, they love our products as well.
American dog treats are highly desirable in a number of countries. One of the countries that really tends to buy a lot of American dog treats is Australia.
Wow.
They have a good market for, right. Well, for one thing, they speak English, so the bags are all going to be in English for them. But they know that the quality is going to be there. Now, there are some American dog treats that aren't allowed in other countries. Believe it or not, our beef standards are lower than a lot of other countries in the world. And so a lot of countries won't allow any beef, American beef, in their dog treats in their countries, which is one reason I don't have meat in my treats. My treats, you know, are biscuits. So
was that a consideration going into it, that eventually you're going to expand internationally and that meat was a problem?
Yeah, that actually is one of the thoughts in the back of my mind when I came into this. Now, not to say that I won't ever do a meat treat, because again, you know, I always have to look years ahead, because you have to start planning these things. You can't just plan them and have them done in another month or two. For one thing, just the expiration date testing takes 1 week for every month of shelf life that you hope to achieve. So if you want 18-month shelf life, that means that the bags have to be tested for 18 weeks. So things don't happen overnight in this industry. But planning far ahead, I can think of a number of things that I want to do. You know, one of the really popular treats that's gearing up, I think, in this country and is wonderful because it's a product that a lot of times might be wasted are fish skins.
Yes.
They dry them out. Dogs absolutely love them. So, you know, perhaps, you know, next year it's going to be my new gluten-free biscuits. Maybe the year after I'll think about doing some fish skin treats.
So you could have like salmon skins and trout skins or whatever, huh?
Absolutely. And again, that helps the fishermen because it's extra income from their product. It helps the people drying them. Again, it can really, and I would like them sourced in the United States.
And a lot of people don't like the skin, so it's one more thing that's not wasted.
Oh, absolutely. And I really don't like waste, so anytime we can make things so that we can help the environment a little bit and not waste food, that's a big thing in my favor.
And what's really cool about that, too, is that our dog with a lot of allergies, those are the kind of treats that he's supposed to have, and it's very, very, very difficult to find them. And the price point, when you do find them, it's almost $15 a bag, and it's in a container within a container, and by the time you open it all up, there's maybe five pieces. And he's a big dog, and he can just go through that pretty quickly.
And there are a healthy, looking at your bag, there's a healthy number of treats. Is there an average number? It looks like at least 20.
Actually, it depends on the flavor. The snickerdoodles are a little bigger, so there are about 20 of those in a bag. But with the cookies, kisses, and Nutter Bites, it's 27, 28. So you actually get enough treats that, you know, the $6.99 you pay for them actually feels like it's a pretty good deal.
So when you go out on a walk, you carry treats in your pocket, no doubt.
Oh, all the time. And the nice thing is that my dogs and I can sit and have a little break. And you know, since they're made in a human cookie company of all human-grade ingredients, we sit and share our snacks. So I'll sit with the dogs and I'll eat the dog treats, too.
I think that's the best.
I believe you. I had one earlier, and it was wonderful.
It was wonderful. I actually snuck one, too. Candace, I want to ask you a question. I know it hasn't been that long that you've had your business, and it's so exciting, and I just love how persistent and dedicated you are and doing the right thing. When you look back, I know you probably think to yourself, I wouldn't ever change a thing because experience builds off of experience. What are the top three things that you love about your life today with your new business?
Oh, well, the top thing that I love about my life, and I have to give him a plug, is my son, Matthew. He is the greatest kid, and he has been behind me 100%. Any day that I'm feeling down or I'm feeling, you know, gee, maybe I made a mistake changing careers here, all I have to do is call my son, and he gives me that uplift that I need.
Oh, my gosh. Is he close to you?
He's in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's great. So yeah. He's right around the corner.
He is.
And didn't you say you are a new grandma?
No, not yet, you know, he is dating an absolutely wonderful girl, so I've got my fingers crossed.
I hope he's not listening. Sorry, guy. Don't want to put anything in your head.
Sharing some cookies kisses.
She's a good one. Keep her.
She just said that on the air.
Oops. I did. Oops.
So let's go two other things. When you get in your car and you're taking a long commute to one of your new destinations to see, you know, interview a new store, how do you start your day? Are you just excited? I always think of my days now. I can't believe I'm doing what I'm doing. Pinch me kind of thing.
Oh, every day is an adventure, and it is so nice to have my own business and not work for someone else. You know, again, I worked for Big Pharma for many years, and I would be putting in 16-hour days. And again, you know, it was very valuable what I did, and bringing these new drugs on market was very exciting. But I was making the money for somebody else. It would be really, really nice to actually make money for myself instead. But in addition to that, I really feel good about this product. And it makes me feel good if somebody's dog is eating something that I know that came from my recipes and are my treats. Because I know that they're wholesome. And that there's no strange ingredients, there's no weird chemicals, and I know that what they're giving their dog is something that's good for the dog, and that the dog's going to really enjoy it, and it's going to be a treat, and it's going to make the dogs happy.
I agree. You can just see that you're 100% behind it, and you're in love with it. I love that. I think that's great.
Right. It's so gratifying to hear from someone who's basically started up a concept and worked with it and enjoys it, and continuing with it and growing with it. It's very gratifying. And we really thank you for coming in. I think we've got a couple more minutes left. But anything you'd like to add? Something we haven't covered? I know we've covered a lot.
Oh, sure. You know, I do have my treats in a number of independent stores. They are available on Amazon, too. Now, I don't sell them directly through Amazon. Amazon buys them from me and resells. What I will say is I would encourage everyone out there to shop at their little local independent stores and keep that income in your own community.
Okay, and then we can look at your website again, and we'll look for that little zip code. And what is your website again?
It's www.pawsbarkery.com.
It's fantastic. Thanks again for joining us today, Candace.
Now, here in the last couple of seconds, we're going to plug our own businesses. Again, I'm Soap and Bean Pet Care, covering the King of Prussia area, doing daily walks, feeding, cleaning, overnights for folks, and I'm bonded, licensed, and insured.
And I'm Diane from Pampered Paws Pet Care PA, professional pet sitting, daily midday dog walking, serving Chester and Montgomery counties, and we're caring, trustworthy, pet centered, and service oriented. Thanks for joining us.
This is Pet Chat, AM 1180, WFYL, and thanks for being on our listenership, and have a great day.
Enjoy.
Shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. W.